Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of Hebrews chapter 11, we were learning when we are called to do something for God, we should always eliminate quitting as an option. Let's continue with that thought today. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Eliminate quitting and going back as an option, regardless of the circumstances. I like the way Elisha did it. You know, when Elisha was called of God to follow Elijah, he burnt the tools and offered the ox to follow Elijah. In other words, the very things that made his income, the very things that made his life, right in the place where he was, he got rid of those things. And he didn't have something to come back to. He didn't have those ox to come back to. He didn't have those tools to come back to. And he went on in the will of God. If Abraham and Sarah had really wanted to, I believe they could have returned. But then, they would have only had a religious experience and not a walking relationship with their Lord God. One thing must be eliminated if you are in this hall of faith as regards to the world. We see that in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now people who walk out of the will of God simply have not the love of the Father in them. But before we're too critical, just remember, we often criticize people and the fact that they have failed. And we're not really aware of all the circumstances. We may have failed too. And many times these people that fail, that quit, that leave the will of God, they've been criticized and circumstances got bad and they got their eyes on the criticism that other Christians were giving them and the circumstances in which they had to live and they got their eyes off Jesus Christ. Now, once you drink the water of life and you eat of the bread of life, once you experience the peace and joy of walking with Jesus Christ daily, even the desire to walk back to the world goes away, regardless of the circumstances. I mean, once Jesus becomes your joy of living, then the circumstances, as bad as they may be, you realize cannot bring the joy, rob you of the joy that you have in Christ. And if you go back to the old joys, the old pleasures, you'll know something's missing. John 16:33 says this, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. And in the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." The Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, put some of his followers into places of great peril and sends them no help, that their faith and consecration may be tested and proved. And basically what those trials and tribulations do is they conform us to the image of Christ if we do not rebel against Him. Now, once you drink the water of life and you eat of the bread of life, once you experience the peace and joy of walking with Christ daily, even the desire to walk back to the world goes away regardless of the circumstances. Now, Abraham, why would not he go back when the problems were there with the land and the people about him? Or why would not Noah go back when he's not received? He preaches 120 years, and outside the eight on the ark, that's it. Or what about Enoch? Why preach coming judgment when the men you're preaching to aren't liking it? They hate it. As verse 16 tells us, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That's why they keep going, even though people hate them. Now, you remember Lot? He looked on the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. In time, he was in the city, and no longer a stranger and a pilgrim, no longer in the tent, but in a house. And 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 lets us know that Lot was a saved man. Yet he looked back. His life was compromised. And later, it was followed by failure and loss. Now, he enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season. But all the pain that it brought to his heart. Do you realize that if we look at Lot's life and we didn't have the 2 Peter 2:7 to tell us that he was a saved man, that every one of us, and I know I would have, I said, that guy wasn't saved. He wasn't right with God. Well, evidently he was saved because the Bible tells us so. But the man lacked a testimony so badly that there were not even 10 people in his city that were saved. And he could have been a witness. Now, my friend, don't look back. Don't look back at what you could have had, where you would have been in life now if only you'd stuck with the old life instead of following God. Abraham had his heart set on a city that was made without hands. The builder and the maker is God, who is the Spirit. But the city is an eternal inheritance, and it's by the promise of faith. One might say Abraham had eternity set in his heart. Now, I tend to think in the new heavens and the new earth and wonder if the new earth is for saved souls that are saved so as by fire, and the new heaven is for those that will hear, well done. Now, I don't know that for sure, and I certainly wouldn't teach that as a set-in-the-stone Bible doctrine, but I have a feeling that maybe that new earth is for Christians who are saved so as by fire, and the new heaven for those that will hear, well done. So, we've looked at the faith here, the patriarchs, and faith's promise. But now let's look at faith's performance in verses 17 through 40. Now, I want to finish out looking at Abraham, which we'll finish with verse 19, and then we'll cut off, and then we'll take up the rest of the chapter after that. But now, note, here as we look at faith's performance in the rest of this chapter, faith is Bible doctrine in action. Now, if you're taking notes, I would write that down. Faith is Bible doctrine in action. I believe that there is a crown of rejoicing for witnessing, because the Bible teaches that. But it is only a doctrinal statement that I believe, but it is not faith until I actually witness. When I witness, then it is faith. Now, this entire chapter is talking about doctrine and making it faith. Living by faith is living by the revealed Word of God. The revealed Word of God is doctrine. True faith will never, and I repeat, never, never, never will true faith be in conflict with Bible doctrine. When one lives by faith, he is living by the promises of God, not by religious super feeling. And when you're living by the promises of God, you are living by the Word of God. Now, verses 17 through 19 looks at the performance of Abraham's faith in his greatest trial of life. So let's look at verse 17. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Now we're told Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Can one not think of the beatitude of blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted? This is Abraham's only begotten son. Oh yes, we know of Ishmael, who was born to Abraham before Isaac was born. But you see, he was conceived outside the will and promises of God. Ishmael's physical conception is a physical conception only. But that of Isaac is a spiritual and physical conception, which God recognized as legitimate. See, with Ishmael, Abraham and Sarah said, "This won't work." Sarah says, "I can't have a baby. I'm too old to have one. So go into my handmaid Hagar to Abraham." They tried to do the will of God in a fleshly manner because they thought that God couldn't do this any other way. They could not see the full power of God. They evidently did not understand the full power of God and what he was able to do. You know what Abraham and Sarah did? They thought outside the box. You get outside the box of God's word, you'll do many things that are not right. And there are people today that want to make the church sound like the world, just like Sarah wanted Abraham to go to Hagar so he'd have a child. We want to rock our music and do other things so that the world will like us and that we can say that we're growing and we're pleasing God that way. As a matter of fact, there's a number of churches in the United States who are members of the World Council of Churches and National Council of Churches. They want to be identified as Christian. They want to be politically correct. And so they can't just stick with Christian. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, "May God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus."
Stands on the hills, may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Bible.